All right. Court, call the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting order on this day, Tuesday, November the 3rd, 2015, 10 a.m. Any persons that might be carrying a cell phone today, if you'd put them on silent, not to disrupt the meeting, appreciate it. And Sean, would you mind closing the door back there behind you? Thank you. And if you'd all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, moving along now to item number 3. This is discussion and possible action, the approval of the agenda for November the 3rd, 2015. Mr. Witt, do we have any corrections or changes to be made to today's agenda?
Yes, I believe Mr. Osborne will be asking for continuation on two items, if he's prepared.
I expect that we continue with the actual items, so we are asking to continue. Can you bear a moment here?
15.
It is item number 15, and that is the second reading for Ordinance 15266 to continue it until the January 19th, 2016 meeting.
That's 15, Austin. 15.
Yes, it's 15266, the utility ordinance. And secondly, is to continue item 18, that is the application for Tahoe Reno Industrial Center for the IC zone application, and that one is to be continued until the January 19th, 2016 meeting.
And I think just to read into the record, item number 18 has been continued multiple times.
Yes.
There really is nothing wrong with it. We're prepared. This is the 600 acres that primarily that we worked to get into Washoe County or from Washoe County into Story County last year. And what we're doing is working with legal counsel at the industrial park to make some modifications in our agreements that are advantageous to the county. So those talks are still going on, and that's the only reason why these items are being continued. This item.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And no other changes, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Any other discussion or comments on today's agenda? Hearing none, looking for a motion to approve today's agenda with the continuation.
Interrupt
this briefly. Sure, go right ahead.
Today is set for a public hearing on item 15, the ordinance. So as long as you could call the item and see if there's any public comment, and that would be, I think, appropriate under the circumstances.
Okay, we'll do that in order with the agenda items.
Okay.
Should the same be done on item 18, Councilor? Okay. Okay.
I would suggest not.
Okay. Very good. Any other comments or discussion on today's agenda? Hearing none, looking for a motion now to approve today's agenda with the continuation of items 15 and 18 to the January 19th, 2016 meeting.
I would so move.
I'll second.
It's been moved and second to approve today's agenda with those changes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. Moving along now, item number 4, discussion and possible action, approval of the minutes for October the 6th, 2015. Does anybody have any public comment on the on those minutes? Hearing none, look for a motion for approval.
I have a request on this.
Okay.
I have a request to address the page 22, down almost halfway where I state this is a company that pays a lot of taxes to the county. Previous to that comment, I stated that this was not a burden on the county taxpayers, as these applicants pay a $72 fee for each background check. So I would like that added or submitted in this record.
Okay. Clerk, make notice of that? Very good. All right. Any other comments on the minutes? Okay. Mr. Gilman, you had a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of October the 6th, 2015, with the one correction by Commissioner McGuffey on page 22.
I'll second that motion.
Then moved and seconded to approve the minutes with the correction for October the, of October the 6th, 2015. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and motion carries. Moving along now to today's consent agenda. Does anyone have any questions regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none. Looking for a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and motion carries. Moving along now to item number 9. This is discussion only, and we'll take no action or public comment. This is committee and staff reports. So, since I called Sean's name first, why don't I call it first again? Mr. Griffin, if you'd like to report on library, health clinic, community chest.
Morning, Sean Griffin, Community Chest. I want to thank everybody for making our health hub opening very successful last week. We had over 50 people. Leslie Thompson's our new PA. I'm thrilled that she's there providing services. This Thursday, Marina Works will begin providing services in Lockwood, which is wonderful, primarily senior outreach with both Adrian and Eric. So, fingers crossed, I think we've crossed this bridge, and we can begin to have health care again. Working closely with Library Buddy, Chief Hames, and all the other partners at the school to make sure we get the word out and make this service available to the community. So thrilled about that. That's a big step. It took a lot of work to get to there. Seems like small steps, but also wanted to let everyone know about our upcoming library fundraiser at the at Piper's on the 21st, 4 to 6 p.m. We're having critically acclaimed author Heidi DeRose speak. She's received many awards for her book, The Girl Who Fell from the Sky. And that'll be 4 to 6 p.m., 4 to 5:30, November 21st at Piper's. So please join us if you're able. I don't have any more updates. Just very happy to talk about the health hub.
Any questions for Sean? All right. Thank you, Sean.
You bet.
Good work. All right. Over to community services. Ms. Nevin.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioner. Sherry Nevin for the record. Just want to echo what Sean said. It was a great opening of the Health Center. We're really happy to have those folks. They brought their entire team, it seemed like, out last Wednesday to meet us, so we're very lucky to have him here in the community. Just a reminder that Saturday is our annual health fair at the Opera House from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. I've had quite a bit of interest, so I'm hoping that we'll get quite a few people coming through there. Nevada Health Centers will be there as well to kind of get to know the community. We still continue to work on the Mark Twain Income Survey. We're getting closer by the day. We need about 31 more responses. That was as of last Thursday. So I haven't got the tally from UNR over the holiday weekend. So hopefully a few more have came in since then. But we'll continue to do our best to get those responses that we need and get this survey closed up. Also wanted to remind everyone that the annual Veterans Day Spaghetti Feed Luncheon is on Veterans Day after the immediately following the parade here in Virginia City. Judge Harrington has organized that event for going on, I think, close to about 17 years now. And if anyone would like to contribute to that event, making something, and going and serving, helping set up, she'd be more than willing to have your help. So just give her a call, and she'd be happy to put you to work somewhere. So I think that's all I have for today, unless anyone has any questions for me.
Any questions, sir? Okay. Thank you, sir. All right. Over to emergency management. Mr. Curtis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of quick items. One, I'll have some presentation and during our workshop on the nuisance ordinance relating to the power outage. But you know, we had our bit of hazardous materials exercise that we held at RDAW down in TRI a week ago Saturday. Very successful. We had participants from Carson City, Lyon, Douglas, of course, Story, North Lyon, Tahoe Douglas, which is up at Zephyr Cove area, and other representatives, also the National Guard. The Grand National Guard was there with their civil support team. So it was very effective to develop communications between not only the responding agencies, but also with the RDAW Corporation. They were extremely responsive in participating and you were able to exercise their in-house emergency response team within the organization. So it was very effective. And that, again, that was a grant that we acquired that Sherry worked on to pay for the all the aspects of putting on that exercise. But RDAW was very, very good to work with out there. And that's about it. Unless you have any questions, and I'll, like I say, I'll have some other information for you during that workshop. Any questions?
Is the owner of that property responsible for the power outage? With that piece of material?
I'm not sure that would be an appropriate thing to discuss at this point in time because it's not within this order. We'll probably discuss that during that workshop, maybe, because it's not on the agenda, not an agenda raised item at that point. Would that be correct? Any other questions? Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Now, for our planning department, Lisa Van Hebel. Thank you, Nick. Community development, Mr. Haymore.
Whoa.
Fire Protection District, Chief Haynes.
Good morning, Commissioners. Gary Haynes for the record. Just two brief updates. We finally got a full week of fuel reduction project work under our belts. We're out in the Overland, Victoria, Rocky Road area, and our fuels crew is finding out why they call that Rocky Road. It's very slow going. You know, you drive those areas, you don't realize how much rock is really on those roads and shoulders and those easements, so they're slowly working through it. Their production rate currently is about 4.3 acres, so a week, so almost an acre a day, which is basically 25 foot of easement on the right side of those roads and 50 feet over to the left side of those roads. It's going well, but much slower than we like. So once we get out to the Laughtown areas and some of those other areas, we anticipate that we'll probably be able to double, maybe even triple those production rates. But it is going well. We've broken 3 carbide teeth, just information off of that new masticator. Yeah, they're $125 a tooth, so that's adding up quickly. So hopefully we're out of those rocks soon. And the only other thing is you'll probably see the smoke columns, but over the next week we're going to take advantage of these slushy conditions. We can't really get heavy equipment on those roads. We don't want to damage the interior roads of the Highlands. So we're taking this opportunity to just do a bunch of burning at the Highlands and in Mark Twain. And any questions I can answer?
Progress is rocky in the Highlands.
Progress is rocky. If not, thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Okay. Back to our planning department, Human Resources, Ms. Rosberg.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. On the HR side, I don't have anything. On the planning side, just an update on State Route 342. That was anticipated as a soft opening on November 12th. Because of the weather and the conditions, there are slushy conditions. They'll have to delay that a bit. I've been working with Comstock Mining on a regular basis to make sure that that road opens up by Thanksgiving. That date is definitely on track, but November 17th is really the soft date right now. At the north end of that project, they are pouring the stem walls for the culverts and then putting the road over the top of that. On the south side of the connection, that culvert stem wall foundation are already completed, and the road is going over the top of that. And actually, you can see a flattened road at this point, everything but pavement. It looks like the first phase did when they started putting that together. You can definitely see a road in place. So the progress is moving, and I'll keep working with Comstock to find updates for you. The parking lot project next more. At 2 o'clock today, I'll be going down to Far West Engineering to open up the bids, take a look at the bids, and see who we'll have for our contractor on the project next door. And then in that interim, we had a mandatory contractor meeting next door last Thursday, I think it was. And at that meeting, they all came, took a look at the project and all the elements of it. And one of the questions I asked them is, at what point can we go ahead and bring that riprap up from Comstock Mining, that material that will go on the south slope and the west slope to stabilize that? And they kind of told me what they want, so I'll be sure to work with that. I am working with Mike Nevin's team and Mike Nevin himself, Comstock Mining, and a little bit with MSHOT, to determine if we can get him access into the mine so he can load that material that Comstock's providing us without having to go through a lot of unnecessary steps. I'll give you an update on that, but the project is moving forward as planned. That's all I have today. Thank you.
Great. Any questions, Frosta? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Osberg. All right, over at the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. I have two items. The Muckers, again, are in the playoffs this year in volleyball. It will be in Reno on Friday. They will be playing Eureka, and the boys will be traveling to Eureka to play the first round of their playoffs in football. So the Muckers are on the playoff schedules again, so more film to follow. My second item is, probably as we all know, and it's been beat to death, it first started with Ann Langer and I probably in October of last year. I've been trying to get some sort of an agreement or some sort of information from the Virginia and Truckee Rail Commission in order to provide an audit for those years from 2011 through 2015. I've spent numerous emails, numerous phone calls to the Virginia and Truckee Commission staff with absolutely no results. So I decided to mention my problem to Commissioner McGuffey. Commissioner McGuffey sent them an email, and I have no less than 25 emails with financial documentation since. So, Chairman, or Commissioner, thank you very much for all of that. So, if you have nothing else, that's all I got.
Anything else? Mr. Gallagher? None? Thank you, Hugh. All right. Chief Deputy Keener, anything from the Sheriff's Office today?
I have nothing at this time.
Thank you. Special Counsel, Mr. Morse.
Nothing to say, thank you.
DA Langer.
Nothing today.
County Manager, Mr. Whitman.
Yes, I'm going to be looking at Chief Deputy Keener to make sure I'm not straying outside the lines here, but one of the things I think the people of Virginia City, Gold Hill, specifically Virginia City, should expect will be contact and notification if you've got cars, trailers, dumpsters, those types of things that are impeding snow removal. We're going to try to hit that as close to the beginning of the season as we can, rather than wait to whatever may or may not be on the ground at the time. But it's getting more and more difficult not only for the plows to get through, but keeping in mind our fire engines are practically the same size as a plow. If we can't get a plow through there, we can't get a fire engine into there. So I think the sheriff's office will be making some outbound contacts in the short future. An update on something that I don't know that we've talked about in a while, and that is where we are with our federal lobbyist issues. As you know, we engage retired Congressman John Porter and his staff of two to help. Just this morning, I received an email from Stephanie Walker in Congressman Amaday's office. Congressman Amaday will be down in southern Nevada next week, actually, and we'll be discussing with them our concerns. They are the regional field office, if you will. And then he has scheduled now a meeting with the Deputy Postmaster General in very early December. So those efforts continue. And we're encouraged that we've got very high-level people working. I think we also have conversations coming up with Senator Reed's office as well. Those haven't been scheduled yet. And then also working with retired Congressman Porter and Dan Maurer specifically, he and Austin have been working closely on keeping the momentum going on all sides, not BLM is being very cooperative, but keeping the momentum going on all sides on the Story County public lands bill. So they've been a huge help on multiple fronts. And I just want to point out to everybody that by approval of the consent agenda earlier this morning, we will not be having meetings on the second Tuesday of November or December, so there will be no meeting on 11/17, nor a meeting on 12/15. Typically, they're very quiet times. If there are urgent or pressing issues, we do have the option of calling a special meeting. We have to advertise it and go through some notifications, but at this stage, we have one more meeting this year. So that's it, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners.
Any questions for Pat?
Yes.
Mike?
There's positive news on the zip code issue, don't think.
Yeah, it's a slow process, but it's the post office. What can I say?
I think we're more organized to push it this time, though. Yeah.
Absolutely.
The Story County won't be the only ones benefiting from this. Hopefully it's going to show all the other small counties of Nevada the same route to go. They all have the same problem.
You know, if I could add one more thing, and again, I'm going to be kind of just looking at Dean, and we don't have, I think, a specific date yet, but we're getting close. We anticipate a large announcement through NDOT and the governor's office, hopefully coming later this month, on awarding the bids for USA Parkway. So Dean specifically has been working closely with the governor's office and NDOT, and hopefully we'll be coming up with very good news and keeping that project right on track shortly.
Okay. Any other questions?
Any other questions?
Questions away? All right. Unless I've missed anybody, that will conclude staff and committee reports. Move along now to item number 10. This is board comments. We don't take any action or public comment on this. Commissioner McGuffey, have comments today?
I attended the Nevada State Veterans Day Parade. It was a good turnout as usual there. Its parking's crazy. And as some of you know, I grew this scruffy looking beard to enter the beard contest to represent Story County. And we placed second to Carson City. We were short by 10 beards. It was a fun day, though. Thank you.
Did Mark show up?
No, Mark wasn't there.
I got it. We only been nine short then.
Yeah, I'll haul him down there next year.
Hi, Sherman.
Nothing good either, thank you.
All right. My comments are brief. I attended the grand opening, although tardy, at the Community Chest for their Health Clinic, met all of the staff down there, and wonderful folks, and they're very excited about bringing their expertise to Story County. So our hats go off to Sean and his staff for doing all that they do down there, because there's no way that the county would be able to provide this without these guys taking the lead on it. Just absolutely no way. So we appreciate it immensely. I too attended Nevada Day Parade in Carson City, and it's always a fun day down there. We see a lot of folks, our neighbors to the west that we don't see all that often. So it was a good time. Moving along now to item number 11. This is discussion only. We're going to have a presentation today by Ed James of the Carson Water Subconservancy District, including an overview of activities of the CWSD and impacts on the Carson River watershed area caused by the drought. The presentation will also include various programs such as flood preparedness, regional water supply, the CWSD Watershed Literacy Survey, flood planning, and education. So, Mr. James, welcome today. Great. Thank you for attending our meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioners, floor.
For the record, Ed James with the Carson Water Subconservancy District. And I tell you, I've never done a presentation when my screen has been this wide before, so it's bigger than life today. So, what I want to do is briefly just give you an update of what's going on in the Carson watershed. I try to do this once a year with all the different entities up and down the watershed, with all the counties and all the water purveyors. So by the time I'm done in December, I will have given this about 20 times. So hopefully I'll get it right by then. So a little briefly, what the Carson Water Subconservancy is about really is promote cooperative action across agencies and political boundaries in the watershed. We really want to bring everyone together and focus on what is happening in the watershed. We have no regulatory authority at Subconservancy, so our main purpose is really bringing everyone together, looking at what the big picture is, and then if we come up with a program we think is beneficial to the watershed, we bring it back to those individual counties, and those counties at that point can then react if they want to adopt what we propose or not. Also part of it is the Carson River Coalition. This is kind of a unique organization. It came out of the 97 flood, and basically realizing that to deal with the issues up and down this watershed, one entity cannot do it alone. It requires everyone coming together, and the Carson River Coalition was basically born after that flood, and really brings all the different entities together. Brenda Hunt, who is in our office, is the watershed coordinator for that effort, and we really basically, again, get ideas from everyone to hopefully get a better product of how we move forward in this watershed. The other thing I like to point out is balancing the water supplies. I call it a three-legged stool. There are three basic demands of water resources in this area. Story County does have mining, but most of the other counties does not have mining in this watershed. But really, in the environment, it's our municipalities and agriculture. And when we do planning, we want to make sure that we're balancing those resources. It's like if you were to cut one too short, your stool would not be even. So when we ever do a planning process, we try to make sure that one is not adversely affecting the other two in our planning process. So let's talk about drought. It's been going on for a couple years. And I like pointing this one out because this is eight weather stations. They're in Northern California, so it doesn't really represent the precipitation that we get here, but it's a good index of what has been occurring. And I'd like to point out here that the dark blue is our precipitation that we received this year. This lighter one is your long-term average. So you can see that we were drier than a long-term average below it, but last year was even drier. And interesting, too, if you look, this is 1977. We almost got twice the precipitation as we got in 77. So we have seen drier years than we have this year. This is taken from USGS stream gauges. And so even though we were maybe 80% of precipitation, this black line is following the long term. The green basically is your average stream flow at the East Fork of the Gardenville gauge. The lighter colors up are your extreme wet years, and then below are your drier years. So this black line is coming across. This is a 14-day running average. You can see that we actually had some new records in droughts, So even though we got 80% of precipitation, we did have some drier periods on the East Fork. Same on the West Fork. You can see we in early, probably April, some drier periods. And then going down to the Fort Churchill gauge, again, the same thing. We had some new records of dry periods on the Carson River. This here is the weather station at the airport in Reno. And what I'm showing this here is, it's a little hard to see, but this kind of lighter color band is your average high-low temperatures that there is recorded at the airport, long-term records. The lighter color down here are your more extreme, and the lighter color up here is your, you know, again, warmer weather. And we actually can see that we actually did have some really warm periods and not a lot of cold periods through this last year. California's records show that they were 3 degrees warmer than the average long-term records in California. Over here is precipitation that was recorded there. This is to mid-August. And you can see that it was about almost 6 inches, and the average long-term is 7 inches. So, again, fairly close, drier than average, but not as extreme. The kicker that we really see is the snow. And this is what this is, how much snow fell at this. And we got 2.7, but the average would have been over 20 inches. And that's what really impacted our flows on the Carson this year. And why we saw such extreme impacts is because of the lack of snow in the watershed. The warmer weather and all that. So if we get a lot of precipitation, if it doesn't come as snow, it does have some real impacts to our system. So how do the water purveyors do? We have 12 major water purveyors in the watershed, and all the water purveyors were able to meet their summer demands. I don't know of any entity that actually had to cut back because of lack of water supply. Looking in the future, Carson Valley, Carson City, Churchill County, all these entities should be in really good shape next year also. As we move forward, Lyon County was able to meet its demands now, and that probably will be able to meet for the next couple of years. However, we know as we start projecting out in the future, Lyon County will be one entity that will be hurting for water in the future. Forgot to mention, in Story County, you also had a very good water supply, and I don't think you have a real issue at this point on your water supply. It all comes, and I'm focusing on the Carson side, and it's all coming from Marlette system. These rains are going to really help recharge that whole drainage area. So we'll look at the groundwater, because most of these entities do take groundwater supply. And every one of our groundwater basins in the watershed are over-appropriated. They have more water rights allocated than the perennial yield in the system. However, we're not overdrafting the basins, which is really helpful. So that's one reason why the entities were able to handle this drought. It's because we don't overdraft the basin at this point. We do have some areas of concerns. These are more on the fringes of all the groundwater basins. When you do a groundwater basin, you got the whole thing. But there are entities on the fringes. Ruinstroth is in Douglas County, Fish Springs. They are seeing water tables drop. All these areas here, I've been told, have had domestic wells have had to go deeper because of lack of water supply. So we do have some entities. It's not being affected by new growth or municipalities. It's really this impact of lack of supply. And also a lot of these areas